In yesterday's gospel, Jesus said, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." You're familiar with that passage, not only from yesterday, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, but also we pondered it in the later part of the Easter season. It was part of Jesus' discourse at the Last Supper. Well, certainly that passage was selected for yesterday's feast because it was the Feast of the Trinity, and we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the whole truth about God, about his communion of love, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that passage applies to all the mysteries of faith and all the truth about our life in God. He has much more to tell us. God has much more to reveal to us, and we can't bear it now or yet, but the Holy Spirit is the one who makes it possible for us to enter more deeply into life with God. Well, that came back to my mind as I was reflecting on today's gospel, because this is one of those gospels, which this is the Sermon on the Mount, so it's much earlier than Jesus' words at the Last Supper. But here he says some things which we might say, we cannot bear this now. We cannot bear this kind of thing where Jesus says, let the person who strikes you on one cheek strike you on the other cheek as well. Or when he says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Our natural reaction to that is, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why should we let evil people rule the world? Why should we let people take advantage of us? We should retaliate. Now, there's no record in the gospel of people reacting when Jesus said this. Probably there was a reaction, and Matthew just didn't include it in his writing. When Jesus spoke about the bread of life, there was a reaction. You know that passage from John chapter 6, when he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. The people said, oh, this is too much to take. You can imagine Jesus thinking, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. You cannot bear the beautiful and full truth about the Eucharist. I'm saying, when people heard Jesus saying this in the Sermon on the Mount, they must have reacted, this is too much to take. But Jesus continues to proclaim the truth. There's so many instances in our own lives and in modern world where we naturally think that the right thing to do is strike back. I heard some very tragic news from my home state, Minnesota. There was one of the political officials, the elected official of the state government, was assassinated. I think that was Friday. And not only was she assassinated, but her husband was assassinated at the same time. And then there was an attack on another state elected official, but that he survived. So, I mean, this is really, whenever there's political violence, you say, well, that should not happen. It should not happen. So are we supposed to say, well, if you're going to kill one legislator, you might as well kill another one, turn the other cheek? No, but that's how it sounds to us. Or the war that has erupted now between Israel and Iran. Israel, did this very dramatic first strike, and then Iran is now striking back, and then Israel is striking back, and the both of them are saying, I'm not going to turn the other cheek. I'm not going to let this country bomb us. I'm going to bomb them back. Bomb them into submission. And that's just the natural reaction. That's the world's way of doing things. And it makes no sense to us to say, well, okay, if you're going to bomb me here, you might as well bomb me there also. If you're going to bomb Tel Aviv, you might as well bomb Jerusalem also. No, that's not what Jesus is saying either. But that's what it sounds like to us. So that's why I say this is like too much for us. In fact, all wars are like this. In war, the other party is always in the wrong. And they must be stopped and they must be corrected and punished. And the principle of justice is true. I mean, Jesus is not advocating injustice or promoting injustice. But he is teaching something radical here, and that is active nonviolence, a response to injustice which is not more injustice. And this is the key. He's not saying, just let injustice reign. He's saying, don't respond with evil. Don't respond to evil with more evil. So that's the principle that I think we can at least accept in theory, whereas we cannot accept the idea of just letting evil people do more evil, and we shouldn't accept that. So how do we respond to evil without committing evil ourselves? And this is what he's going into. So there's a certain amount of forbearance, of, well, last week we studied patience, a certain amount of toleration of evil, a certain amount of endurance, which is not in order to allow injustice to reign, but in order to prevent more injustice. That's why it's usually important not to react immediately, because usually that's full of emotion and an irrational response. It's better to let the blow on one cheek stop us from saying, no, what's the right response now? What's the just and merciful right response now? What's for the good, not only for my good, to satisfy my desire for retaliation, but what's the good thing to be done, objectively good, even good for the one who opposed me? And sometimes the best thing for an opponent is to be corrected, punished. It's sometimes the best thing. But it's not motivated by anger, by a reaction. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us here. There's a higher standard that is not simply eye for eye and tooth for tooth. There's a higher standard where it is, whatever you do to me, I want good to reign. I'll be willing even to let go of the immediate just response, or what seems just to me, in order for good to reign, or God to reign. Now this is a hard thing. It's a hard thing for us to practice, even to understand sometimes, especially in moments when something which is obviously evil is being done or has been done. And that's what warring countries always say. How can I simply let this evil be done to me or to us? You know, when they try to negotiate between warring parties, both parties say, we want peace, we want to stop this war. But then they say, but I'm not going to stop if they don't stop. That's why it's so hard to get a ceasefire. Yes, I want a ceasefire, but I'm not going to stop fighting and let them bomb me again. No, they have to stop first. And that's why it's very hard to get peace. Well, this principle of nonviolence, this principle of choosing the higher standard, is on display with St. Paul in today's first reading. He's an expert at this, and he's always marveling at this. He's always marveling that this actually works, this paradox that when I get beaten down, the gospel flourishes. When some injustice is done to me, if I rely on God, He brings forth a much greater good. And this is what he's pondering here in 2 Corinthians. This is not the only place where he does this. Paul returns to this theme a lot, where he's acknowledging the dynamic that God is at work in us who are unworthy ministers of earthen vessels. And the way that he works is when we unite ourselves with Jesus in his weakness, in his poverty, in his suffering, God brings forth something extraordinary. And this is what he says here. We've had all these afflictions, hardship, constraints, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, vigils, fasts. look at all the terrible stuff that's happened. But then instead of saying, now I'm going to do terrible things to the people who have done terrible things to me, he says, oh, look at what God has done in response to this affliction. Well, we've been able to rise up purity, knowledge, patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, unfeigned love, truthful speech, in the power of God. And he's not saying, I'm so powerful. He's saying, look at how powerful God is in the face of all these evils. God is more powerful than evil. That's the conviction of a person of faith. We saw this yesterday, actually, if you remember in the second reading, where Paul says that we boast of our affliction. That was Romans chapter 5. We boast of our afflictions. This is someone who understands the principle of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, we boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because of the love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See what Paul does? He takes exactly the opposite direction that our nature takes when we experience affliction. When we experience affliction, especially if it's personal offense, our nature says, well, I'm going to strike you back. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's fair, isn't it? And Paul says, no, I'm not going to go in the direction of nature or of the flesh. I'm going to go in the direction of virtue. In the direction of the power of the Holy Spirit. When I experience affliction, I'm going to let that train me in endurance. I'll benefit from it, in other words, and develop proven character, someone who can rise above the offense. Proven character to hope, hope that does not disappoint. The hope is not based on my desire for getting even. A lot of people hope for that. If I could only get even with that guy, I'll be happy. No, that doesn't give us happiness. The hope that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 5 is the hope that comes from God, from the love of God poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So I'm just connecting yesterday's readings with today's. The same wisdom is being taught to us. The wisdom of letting God be in charge, God who is capable of bringing good out of evil. He's not defeated by being slapped. Every sin of ours is a slap on God's cheek, no? And he doesn't smash us because we offend him. He rises above it and says, well, what's good for this offender? What's good is that he see his offense and be led to repentance so that he will change. So that's what turning the other cheek does. It puts on display the offense to make it clear that this is not right. It's not an acceptance of injustice, like this is fine. It's resistance to injustice, but without more injustice. Well, this is something for us to ponder as well as try to practice every day. We're being challenged to rise to the higher standard of the gospel. And we can't do it except with the power of the Holy Spirit. So with confidence in God's power, we continue to go forward to live and proclaim the gospel.